Another day, another plunge.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Friday morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. How many times lately have I begun this newscast by saying world markets plunged today? I'm doing it again, and it doesn't look too good for Wall Street either. Export-driven Asian markets ran into terrible corporate earnings. Their export customers are running out of money, and the yen is at a 13-year high against the dollar, which makes their goods even harder to sell. Japan, South Korea, Hong Kong saw 8 to 10% losses today. And so far, Europe is tail-spinning too. Major markets down 7 to 9%. U.S. stock futures are down big, and trading has been limited to prevent further declines. That's an indication of extreme selling pressure for Wall Street when stocks begin trading. Both Russian stock exchanges suspended trading today when prices wouldn't quit falling. The Russian stock market has dropped 70% since the credit crisis. The ruble has hit a new low against major currencies. As Megan Williams tells us, Russia is throwing money at the ruble, trying to prop it up.
The Russian central bank is buying up rubles like there's no tomorrow. Everyone else, though, is rushing to cash them in for dollars and euros, and that's driving the ruble down. The credit crisis pushed Russian industry to sell off assets and beg for bailouts. Now, with the price of oil and gas plummeting, Russia's once bulging budget could be heading for a deficit. Half the country's income is from oil, and production is dropping along with price. Russia has $500 billion in cash reserves. But as the rush away from the ruble picks up, even that may not be enough to keep its currency steady. For Prime Minister Putin, whose power has been propped up by high oil prices, that's not good news. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Megan told you how dependent Russia is on oil prices. In Vienna today, OPEC oil ministers tried to boost that price by agreeing to cut output by 1.5 million barrels a day as of next month. It hasn't worked yet. Oil slid this morning another $3.50 to under $64 a barrel, less than half this summer's historic highs. What will these stock losses mean for your retirement? Part of that answer might reside in Congress. There's a hearing today concerning a government program that insures millions of pensions for companies that go under. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, it's been a rough year for that fund.
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is a multi-billion-dollar federal backstop that insures retirement benefits for millions. California Congressman George Miller says at the beginning of last year, the PBGC had more than $68 billion in assets, conservatively invested. Then
they decided that they could get higher yields, higher returns by entering into riskier investments.
They bet heavily on equities, and in the past 12 months, the PBGC lost more than $4 billion.
We experienced a loss of approximately 6.5%, which is considerably better than most other participants in the markets.
Jeffrey Spiker, the PBGC's spokesman, says he wishes his own investments had fared as well.
My retirement account would be looking better now.
But Congressman Miller says the fund should never have taken on those new risks in the first place. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
We've been telling you for weeks how the global economy is sliding, but what to do about it? Today, we launch an occasional series that looks at solutions. It's called What's the Fix? I asked economist James Galbraith for his fix. He told me the U.S. federal government should be spreading money out to the states.
We need steps that will stabilize the underlying economy. It's going to be necessary to support state and local governments whose revenue bases are deteriorating very rapidly because of the fall in property tax revenues particularly, and then also the decline in economic activity. to help them maintain services, maintain employment, would be a very important way to stabilize the overall economy.
FDIC Chair Sheila Bair has proposed that the government back some mortgage loans to prevent more foreclosures. What do you think of that?
I think it's a very constructive idea. It sets up an incentive for loan servicers to renegotiate the terms of the loans, to turn these unsustainable, toxic loans that should never have been made into something which has a better chance of keeping the homeowner in the home and keeping the home, you know, in reasonable repair.
So it's worth helping lenders and consumers who made bad decisions, bad loans?
In a situation like this, you have to help consumers first and foremost. If you have to help lenders to some degree to get the result you want, I'm not opposed to that.
You have proposed that the federal government help states invest in infrastructure. What are you imagining?
As credit markets have frozen up, states and localities have much greater difficulty financing public capital expenditure just at a time when the resources in construction are available because the housing sector is in a slump. So we ought to be taking advantage of the borrowing power of the federal government to pass funds to states and localities to rebuild an infrastructure which has been neglected for over 30 years.
What would all this deficit spending do to our long-term health?
It would improve our long-term health. When the private sector is not able to take out loans and to have an expanding credit-based private economy, then the public sector must. If neither does, then you have a Great Depression. That's the disaster you want to avoid.
James Galbraith is a professor at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
We have some great videos online at marketplace.org, explainers of what's behind these troubles, so take a look if you haven't. I hope you'll keep tuning in as we cover the fallout. The Dow will open this morning at 8,691 after yesterday's 172-point gain. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.